Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, November 15th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the book of Acts, chapter 18, and I'm going to be reading today about Paul's missionary journey through Corinth. It might be interesting if you haven't already to go to the internet and search for a map of Paul's missionary journeys. This just gives a visual element to all the travels that Paul has done. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come to Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews of Corinth made a united attack on Paul and brought him to the place of judgment. "This man," they charged, "is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law." Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to them, "If you Jews were making a complaint about some misdemeanor or serious crime, it would be reasonable for me to listen to you. But since it involves questions about words and names and your own law, settle the matter yourselves. I will not be a judge of such things." So he drove them off. Then the crowd there turned to Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the proconsul. And Gallio showed no concern whatsoever. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of the vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. There is so much here in the book of Acts today in chapter 18 that I would love to highlight, but I think what sticks out the most to me is that God is at work in the relationships of the people in this passage, and then it makes me think about the fact that God is at work in our relationships as well. It's interesting that Paul meets Aquila and Priscilla because they have been cast out of Rome. Claudius says no more Jews in Rome, so they have to leave and they go down to Corinth. And that is where they meet Paul. And it is wonderful, happenstance, serendipitous, perhaps sovereignty of the Lord, that they are tent makers, and so is Paul, and so they work together on tents, but they're also working together, contending together for the gospel. And then we see at the end of this chapter that they train Apollos in the truth about Jesus. So he knows about Jesus, but he has not heard the full story of Jesus as Lord. Let's look again at the end here. It says, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor, though he only knew about the baptism of John. And so Priscilla and Aquila invited him into their home and explained the way of God more adequately. This is an opportunity for us to read our own story here as well. Who is it in our life that we can invest in? As Robbie Gallaty in the book Growing Up says, the gospel came to you because it is headed to someone else. Who is it in your life that you could be instrumental in helping them more fully understand who Jesus is and what he came to do? And now let us turn to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear me, Lord. My plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people tried to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent, through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. For the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me, they close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people. Lord, from those of this world, whose reward is in this life, may what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face when I awake. I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. As we turn to the book of Nehemiah, we will be in chapter 6, starting in verse 15, and we'll go through chapter 7, verse 4. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds, and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. After the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also, appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their own houses." Now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. Before we move on to Missions Monday, I just want to comment on Hananiah. It says he was a leader that was a man of integrity and feared God more than most men do. And I thought that is such a great title, isn't it? We as leaders in our homes and leaders in our workplaces and leaders in our community should strive to be people who have integrity and who fear the Lord and not fear other people. And then it was curious, wasn't it? In verse 3, you would almost miss it if you weren't thinking. It says, "I said to them, 'The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot.'" And I was like, why is that? And I went to the bottom to my study Bible, and it says here that city gates were usually opened at sunrise, enabling merchants to enter and to set up their tent stores. But Nehemiah didn't want Jerusalem to be caught unprepared by an enemy attack. So he ordered the gates closed until well after sunrise, when the people were sure to be awake and alert. Let's move now to Missions Monday. Today we are praying alongside our brothers and sisters who work with Empower Ministries. This is a ministry here in Birmingham that seeks to help those who are impoverished by helping people with their GED. And also they have a medical clinic where people who do not have access to adequate medical care can come and find help for their physical needs. Let's spend some time together now praying for our brothers and sisters who are at Empower. Eternal God, Provider, Powerful One, Most Excellent God, help us to be a people who reverence You, a people of integrity, a people who seek to be about Your work in the kingdom. We pray, Father, thanking You for opportunities that You have given us to disciple others. We ask, Lord, that we would be faithful to continue to seek out conversations and to seek out people in our midst who may need someone to come alongside them. We know that we are not worthy, and Lord, we will never know enough, but we pray, Lord, that You might use us nonetheless to be a witness. Just like You used Apollos, he didn't know all the information, but he was being used. And then Priscilla and Aquila came beside him and they taught him more about the ways of the Lord. Help us to be humble and obedient and open. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters at Empower Ministries. We ask, Lord, for the students as they seek their goals of learning and reading and passing the GED. We pray, Lord, for favor in that place. And we pray for the patients who receive care in the facility. We pray, Lord, that you would provide the physical and spiritual and emotional resources that they need. We pray that you would send the right people to Empower. They currently need a high school math tutor, Lord. Would you send someone who you have created with a mind for math? We pray for other volunteers as well. We pray for the right staff as well, as they are seeking a programs manager and a part-time bookkeeper. And we give thanks alongside our brothers and sisters that lives are being changed and that the students and patients are being shown the love of Christ. And for this, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.